You know who we should have on the show?
No.
Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Annie Leibovitz.
Nah, she doesn't hang in Tubingen.
She's a photographer, so.
Yeah, but Shia LaBeouf is local.
Oh, yeah, because I saw there's videos on the internet of him,
Did
right?
you see that?
Well, I heard all about it. I didn't actually watch the video.
Did you see that it was in Tubingen?
No, I didn't realize it was in Tubingen. I just knew Germany.
Yeah, no. It was literally down the street from here.
That's awesome. Does that make you a celebrity?
No, it's really strange, though, because we are a very small town. So the fact that this all blew up right in Tubingen was pretty weird.
Okay.
Not interesting.
No.
But I was actually at a wedding that night. Otherwise, that would have been awesome to be part of that. Just because having him sit in the car while he tries to FaceTime with Megan Fox would be pretty rad.
Things that you aspire to see.
Well, when you're heading into Tubingen on a Friday night, the last thing that you're thinking is Shia LaBeouf's going to FaceTime Megan Fox in my car.
Right, yeah.
However...
Maybe if you're lucky.
Could happen. Come on down to Tubingen, is what I'm saying. Hello and welcome to episode 240 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan. I'm in Vancouver.
Okay.
No, Tubingen. We did this last week, and you'd think we'd be
no.
Over
it wasn't
now.
Good. It wasn't good last week. So
no. But last week I was in transit. Like when you're listening to last week's show, I really legitimately was looking at Greenland.
Okay.
Now I'm looking at Vancouver.
Okay.
So there you go. I'm in Vancouver, but recording in Tubingen. How about that? Oh, yeah. Technology is so confusing. And with me, as always, is...
Adam. Still Vancouver.
Yes. What's going on, Adam?
Summer. Summer's going on, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all things summer.
You know what I bought for summer?
What?
Sunglasses.
Nice.
Bought them on Amazon.
Great. That's
a true story.
That was smart. Yeah, that was smart.
What'd you get? Oh, I got some aviators.
Yeah.
Because you remember last summer when I was in Vancouver, one of the delightful local crackheads stole my Ray-Bans.
Right.
So I've been wearing my backup Ray-Bans. Who has backup Ray-Bans? But I had a pair of
movie stars, maybe.
Yeah, I think possibly. But I had some Clubmasters from way back, probably when, you know, Jason Priestley was a thing. And I never wore them anymore, but I've had to wear them for the last year until I decided on what I was going to get. And I thought, oh, man, I'm going to get these other aviators by a different company.
Okay.
So they got gum delivered. They're waiting for me in Vancouver.
Okay, wait. Back it up a second.
Right.
Polarized lenses?
No.
Oh, God. I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
No.
Can't live without them. One thing I can't live without on my list of things I can't live without, it's polarized sunglasses.
I like reflections. I do. I love glare. I'm a fan of glare and tired eyes.
Perfect. All right. Yeah. Well,
no, I got one lens polarized, one lens not, just to completely mess my head up.
Perfect.
Yeah, that would be great. Right. Like, or if you get like polarized bifocals, like so just the bottom is polarized only. That'd be pretty rad.
Yeah, but no, I just can't get it. I don't understand why not. You didn't want to shell out for the extra, you know, $22.
Oh, these ones were an extra $100.
For the polarized?
I have no clue. I don't know if these ones are actually the ones I got are specifically offered in polarized. They might be. I'm not sure. My point is here is the Amazon rub. I'm going to come out and say here's the Amazon the downside.
Okay. We need to hear this because we need impartial bias.
I may have, despite doing what I consider to be decent online homework, I may have bought a size slightly too small.
Oh, Oh.
We'll find out. We'll find out in a couple days.
Can you bend them? Can you bend them?
No, it's more so how they look. And, of course, you want to look marvelous, right?
Oh, you bought the kid's size.
Nah, I didn't buy the kid's size.
Jack needs a new pair of sunglasses if you're done with them.
How's he on not non-polarization?
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, he's a snob.
Forget it, yeah.
Well, no, so, yeah, so I tend to for whatever reason, wear the smaller sunglasses tend to suit my, you know, suit my face better, and thus I got those. But now I'm wondering if I should have gone for the extra mediums. So we'll find out in a couple of days and see if I can order the next set up. But the issue was I was having trouble finding that specific pair in that size and color that I wanted.
Let me. Can I tell you my stance on sunglasses?
No, we have no time. Yes.
Okay, so my stance, I was going to tell you anyway, so my stance on sunglasses is buy good sunglasses and take care of them. That's my stance.
That like, is my stance. Not only is it my stance, I'm pretty vocal about that stance.
Yeah, like a lot of people say, oh, I don't want to pay, you know, $200 for my sunglasses. And I say, well, you can also pay 25 11 times in the next 5 years because I'm going to still have my pair.
Yes.
And they're still not going to have scratches on them.
Absent of crackheads in the neighborhood.
And I'll tell you, I mean, now I bought my first pair of polarized, like, I like Oakley, so I bought a pair of polarized Oakleys like 5 years ago, and I love them so much, and I said, okay, like, these are the greatest sunglasses ever. They're super comfortable, super light, and just, again, got rid of, you know, 80% of the glare, and I said, I'm never going back. I had them for 5 years, still love the sunglasses, and then my wife was getting a pair of polarized sunglasses at some point, and they had to buy one, get one half off at, like, a Sunglass Hut or something, and I said, you know what, I really love my sunglasses. I've had them for 5 years, still like them, but just wouldn't mind a different style change. And so I bought a pair of aviators, again, Oakleys polarized. Now I have two pairs of polarized Oakleys and one I call my backup. So when you said that backup pair of Ray-Ban thing, that's me. That's me in the Oakley version.
But yours are both in style, though.
Well, one's just a classic black. The frames I bought years ago are just a classic black, which is awesome because I knew those ones wouldn't really ever kind of fade away as a style. Mm-hmm. And then the aviators were the new choice, which I know eventually those ones will kind of go out
Oakley
of fashion.
Oakley makes aviators?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, aviators never go out of style.
Okay. Well, no, there you go.
They are the gray t-shirt of sunglasses, man.
They are the Tom Cruise of Top Gun.
I did not know that Oakley made those. Well, good for them.
Yeah, you should check them out. They're awesome. Yeah.
Yes, I will do that. But point being, bought it on Amazon.
Yeah, I didn't buy mine at Amazon.
This a little note about the show right now. About our summer schedule. We're right in the middle of a very busy summer. And of course, rather than we don't want to miss any weeks. We haven't missed a single week since we started the show 4.5 years ago.
Okay.
And so we don't want to do that now, and we don't want to run reruns. We don't want to do that, but we're going to have to likely shorten the show a little bit.
Okay.
So that's the plan for the summer schedule for August. For the next 4 weeks, it's going to be probably a slightly shorter show, and so no actual topic. Every show we've had has had an actual topic section. I think we're going to drop that for the next 4 weeks and just talk about photos. The rest of the stuff is going to stay the same. The photo challenge and whatnot. We'll keep all that going on.
There might be mini topics that just pop up in conversation.
That's absolutely right. That's going to happen. For example, coming up, we'll talk about it in the shoot anything interesting section, but you are going to and will have shot my sister's wedding.
Right. Yes.
Yes.
That's coming up in 2 weeks in our real time, but who knows in podcast time when we're going to talk about that.
Is it 2 weeks? I'm pretty sure it's a week tomorrow.
Okay, maybe I should make myself available next week.
I'm just thinking, mate, you might want to show up. Yeah.
Yeah, next weekend. Yeah. Next weekend, yes. Yeah.
I'm really, it's kind of why I'm flying the whole family in. So
I've got it on my calendar.
Yeah. And by that, you mean your wife's memory.
Yeah, right.
So there's that. So anyway,
But wait. You know how I've landmarked it? It's the night before me and Jack go to wrestling.
Is that right?
True story.
All
right. Wrestling in Vancouver the night after the wedding.
So you're gonna be plum tuckered out for that wrestling.
Yeah. Tell you that. Yeah.
Yeah. So point being is what I was saying is that then technically I am in Vancouver now.
Okay.
Just to tie it all back together.
Great.
What else is going on? You said summer.
I bought a 10-foot white paper roll
the other Interesting. Day. You bought the because before when you bought the background, you bought the background stand.
Yeah.
It came with like a 12-inch roll or something.
5 feet. 5 feet wide.
5 feet, which sounds awesome, is not nearly big enough.
No. And the reason I've gone out and bought other 5 foot wide rolls. I bought green, I bought gray. I've gone through two rolls of white since I've had the background stand. The biggest reason was I had no way to transport a 10-foot long paper roll.
Right.
So, you know, we had two small cars and there's just, that was not going to happen. But since we bought the SUV, I thought, I actually could now transport a 10-foot paper roll. So there's another handy use for having a an SUV. So I did that. And it's awesome. So here's the kicker. So I got the 10-foot roll, and then the reason that I got it was my wife's friend or a friend of my daughter's who dances with my daughter missed photo day, and they asked, can Adam possibly do a makeup on photo day because we didn't get to have our pictures, and I said yeah sure, and then I thought about it and I thought, you know what, I think I'd way rather do this with a wider background, just because what I found in doing that in the past is that, you know, it's really hard to get them to pose and make movements and still keep all their limbs with the white background. So
yes.
I decided, okay, I'm going to do this. And then I could also potentially pose two people together. And so, so I went and got the paper roll and then I did some of that. So that was new in photography. Now the kicker is, we talked about lighting white backgrounds in the past, and you've kind of said, oh, you know, two flashes on the background and often one flash on the subject, right? Like three flash setup. Well, the 10-foot wide paper is pretty hard to light with two flashes on the background. That's
really?
That's what I found. Yeah. Like you get little grade spots in, because again, it's hard to evenly light it. Let's say that. It's not hard to light. It's hard to evenly light it. So then if you do it and it's not even, well, then you're going to end up either cropping to an even spot on the paper, which again, doesn't do that much for using that huge wide surface, or you're going to end up brushing in Photoshop some spots clear. So it's,
I
really wanted to just kind of do it straight out of camera.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I found was I was using three flashes on the background.
I feel like that's the sequel to Straight Outta Compton.
Yes, three flashes.
Straight out of camera.
Straight out of camera.
Yeah.
But no, and even that was my first go at it. And it's hard to see when you're looking at the LCD. It's really hard to see those little gray splotches in amidst the white background. So it is really something that you're going to have to, you know, do your best and then hope for the best. Unless you're going to do a few images, go to your computer, transfer to your computer, have a look there before you come back. I'm not probably going to do that.
I hate that.
Yeah. So either way, it's
so you
it's
ended
tough.
Up using three lights. You said
three flashes, and then the Alien B strobe's huge softbox to kind of light the subject. But then what I thought afterwards is I thought maybe next time I do it, maybe I'll use the Alien B on the backdrop.
Mm-hmm.
Huge power source, bigger spread, and I might be able to get away with just that, or maybe that plus one other flash to light the background, and it would be no problem because it's basically the room's totally dark, and as long as I move them far enough away from the background to light them with speed lights in for the subject.
I'll tell you what I used to do. Now I actually have the background. I bought the background stand like last November, if I remember correctly, and for some reason I just have never gotten around to buying the paper. It hasn't come up, and I need a job to kind of force me to buy it, to pull the trigger. P.S., that job just came up literally today for September. I'm going to have to buy a background for September, so I will get it. But I have lit them before. I've borrowed actually, I used Chris Marquardt's background before.
Okay.
And when I did light that, you can light it with two, except for what I did was – I shot two strobes into reflective umbrellas.
Okay.
And that's what I used to really, you know, throw a light bath on the entire 10-foot background. And then I ended up, at the time, I didn't have my softbox yet, the one that you and I both have, and you ordered for me, by the way.
Yeah.
But what I did have was in my light disc, my four-in-one light disc was actually a 5-in-1 light disc. You know, your big bounce board?
Mm-hmm.
Inside, you can actually use the disc as diffusion.
Yes, just the straight through white.
Right. And so basically what I would do, I used both of my, at the time I had two umbrellas, I used those to flood the background, and I shot the key light right through that, a handheld, someone holding the inside of that disc.
Right.
And that's how I lit the subject. So you can do it with two, but you're right, you need a much bigger spread to cover all that real estate.
Yeah, and I have done it in the past too. And this, again, all these scenarios were kind of going through my mind how best to do this. But I have done it in the past where I've used a shoot-through umbrella with, you know, the black, instead of going reflective, doing the shoot-through umbrella and then just kind of using a... the black piece on one side of the umbrella, you know, the black cover that goes on it, just again to sort of shield that light from spraying on your subject. Mm-hmm. But again, it sounds like same difference to the shoot or the reflective umbrella approach that you were taking, but that does kind of even out the light on the background. You're right.
Yeah.
But again, it was one of those things where I looked at my test shots in camera and thought, oh, this is good. And just decided, oh, I'm not going to do any extra setup here. And then turns out there was gray blotches that I didn't want. Yeah. So I just, what I ended up doing is just cropping around those and playing with the slider on the white in Lightroom just to pull the whites up a bit, which got rid of most of those little gray blotches. So that was handy too.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that's a great little tool in Lightroom to get rid of those little hotspots, or actually bring up the cold spots into the hotspot range.
Right.
Love it. I shot some photos of a buddy of mine on my ball team. His girlfriend had flown over from America.
Yeah.
And they came over for dinner one night, and I said,
Back up. Yeah. Was this the model from the last last photo? Okay.
That's right. So since we shot those, they had come over for dinner. And also another friend of mine on the team. We're all friends on the team. Came over for some dinner, and then afterwards they're heading back to catch the bus to go home. And I said, "Well, she flew all the way over here, but let's snap a couple of nice photos. It's magic hour. We got some nice surroundings. I'll even bring the softbox out. We'll do a one light, you know, shoot on your way to the bus stop. Like, we'll take 5 minutes, snap some photos.
Okay.
And we do, and we go ahead and fire away really quick. He's somewhat, you know, photo shy, I guess. He just doesn't really care, I suppose, about being in photos. But he was nice enough, because she was into it, and snapped 4 or 5 photos. Really nice, like great magic hour setting, and like nice background, perfectly lit. They got great natural expressions on their face. And then we get to the bus stop, and I walk them to the bus stop because they don't know where it is. And we're all at the bus stop. We got 5 minutes to kill. And I said, "Oh, let's get one just for fun."
Okay.
Of the two of you, and then our other friend, just in the background, just texting, like just out of nowhere, like a setup photo bomb. And it's pretty funny. It actually looks really funny because they're there and all that. And of all those photos, that's the one they shared on the social media.
Awesome.
I was like, yeah. You didn't want the ones that are perfectly, like, this one is not, it's reasonably lit. Like, I put the light up, but it's like, you know, it's at a bus stop. The other one was like out in a nice forest setting, like really, really nice.
Yeah, I know, it is funny what people decide that they like and what they want to share. Like, I had a similar example of the people that I shot the wedding for, the last wedding, and sent them all the pictures. And they put one photo each up on their Facebook as like a cover photo. Mm-hmm. And it was like a super tight cropped version that they did of just a face from, like, you know, the 400 pictures that I sent them. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. Like, you know, like it just, all the photos, like a super tight cropped version of just the face was the one that they shared. And, yeah. Yeah, I was just like, a little disappointed.
Like, hey, I could have done that in my living room, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of took pains to get the background just right.
And I totally understand. It's like, oh, you know, they're gonna print and put in albums and whatever. But yeah, just the way we think of social media as now the end all be all, just interesting in terms of choice.
And I didn't care that she actually copied me or tagged me or whatever it is in the photos for, you know, so her friends could see. That's fine. I wasn't even about that. I wasn't like, oh, share this one so that I can get, you know, just a bunch of fake accolades.
No, it's not that either.
Fakelades. We should call them fakelades. That's what that should be.
But you kind of know what's good, too.
Yes. But I talked to him the next day at practice. I was like, listen, did you at least send the good ones to your mom? Because I will. Otherwise, I will send them to your mom, which makes it awkward. But he said, yeah, no, I emailed them to her. I'm like, all right, that's fine.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was a funny photo. I can't argue. It was interesting. So...
I find too is that now like if you take, let's say, 20 pictures of them, that this is where I'm now starting to get cautious, is I already am thinking about that in mind, you know, trying to select out for them the ones that I want them to post so that doesn't happen. But sometimes you do want to post some of just the random ones, and you know they're not nearly as good, and so you want to include that. But then in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I hope that's not, you know, what they're going to choose, right?
Yeah. And of course they do.
Yeah.
That's always their hot move. It's, oh, yeah. Go grab that one. Yeah. Did you shoot anything? Was that part of the shoot anything interesting? That should have been part of that.
Yeah, that was the dancers. Yeah, that's what we were talking about. Shoot anything interesting. That was the dancers.
That should have been it.
The 10-foot paper roll.
Yeah. I didn't properly introduce that section. Yeah. Okay, photo challenge. That's where we're at then.
Okay, photo challenge.
It was Available Light. Last week we talked about the Available Light photographer and how he's getting a bad rap.
Yeah.
And probably should be.
Yep.
But maybe not. And so this week's topic was, our challenge was, shoot something in Available Light. You want to go first or second?
I'm going to go second.
Okay, let's have a look at mine then. Mine is, first of all, it's the portrait version, not the landscape photo. I've posted two.
Okay.
I had something else entirely different in mind when I immediately thought, okay, I'm going to go shoot some Available Light. I thought, for me, one of the favorite things about tubing in is like the old town. You go around there and like it's such a wonderful setting. Got the cobblestones and the old, you know, half timber houses, like right out of a movie. But also at certain hours of the day, the way the light basically shoots across the old town is amazing. And fleeting, of course, as we talked about last week. But so you get 5-minute windows here and there of really cool shafts of light and reflections and amazing stuff. I thought, I'm gonna head into town and grab something great. I didn't happen.
Okay.
The weather did not cooperate. The days that I had to go in there, the weather did not cooperate. However, I got really lucky because one morning, sitting around with my son, and all of a sudden I look outside and I thought, this is great. This is gonna be great lighting. So you know what, kiddo, let's grab the tricycle and we're heading out. And we went out, and this is what we snapped. We got some clouds. We got some nice, even light, like sort of, I would say, mostly through clouds, so it's nice and flat, but with a little bit of direction to it, as you can see. And I was really thrilled that, like, there's no lighting added to this photo at all.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, Available Light. So there you go. So there's the Sons of Tubingen.
Yeah, no, I don't like it.
You don't like it?
No, I like it. Okay. I really like the clouds. I mean, the clouds are just great. Like, you get the deep blues and the nice kind of combination of the blue shirt, green tricycle, blue tricycle with the green grass and the blue in the sky. Like, it's really nice. And I like the crop too. I like the inclusion of all that sky and the negative space here, it really works. So no, it's a
you've
really
turned
nice
a corner.
Photo.
You don't like negative space.
I know that's not true. And we've talked about this. I don't like it all the time. I think it gets overdone too much, but this isn't overdone, at all. And, no, I like it. I like this, the pose and the face is again, really, really great here. 'Cause it says, I don't know, is he almost two now?
Yeah, we get 1.5.
1.5. It says that like he looks like he's on the Harley Davidson and he's pulling the gas and he's making that move with his mouth where it's like, you know, like that's kind of what it like. That's what it looks like to me. And so it's got some action to it too. The way the angle of his feet, like you can tell he's just pushing off and rearing back on the fake gas. There, it's a very nice photo. So like I say, the colors just work out perfectly here with the green and blue of the bike and the blue in his shirt and the green and blue in the grass and the sky. So good photo, very good. I would put this one on the wall.
Well, thank you. I've already sent you one.
Perfect. It's it's your postcard for your trip to Vancouver.
the thing is like, there was a little bit of post production work here, like and by that I mean like barely any stuff that your wife could probably handle. Okay. And I don't mean that as a slight to your wife, but she's not a seasoned pro at post production in Lightroom, right?
Right.
But like the key is, put yourself in a good position to take photos. In terms of lighting, I mean, not just shooting down low like I did, because I shot a few up from up a little higher and then ended up laying right on the ground to get this perfect perspective. That even though he's only in the bottom half of the photo, it's very, very clear that he is the subject.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of lighting, like it's so important to recognize good lighting setups that exist, so that you don't have to do any more work. Like I probably could have taken this at the crack of noon. But you know, you'd have to spend 6 to 8 hours in post-production just to kind of salvage that image.
Right.
Don't want to do that.
Right.
So essentially what I ended up doing, I think I ran a contrast exposure brush over the top clouds just to sort of darken them a little bit, maybe bring out a little bit of the blue. That's about it. Other than that, that was it. I just basically export it as a JPEG, and here it is. So that's something that you can do. But I did take a wider shot. Like I took a different series, a couple different versions of the shot. And so here's I shot a wider one, which I don't think is as good, but it shows what you can do if you put yourself in a good position.
Yeah, I don't particularly like the wide one. In all honesty,
no, just no, because it's yeah. for. To showcase
no, I know for X, but I mean, I looked at the two photos and I thought, I hope that's the wide one's not the one he's going with. Like, just yeah. because, I mean, I feel like everything that I know and have learned and like about photography says that the portrait style one is 1,000 times better photo, because mm-hmm. I look at this and I'm just looking at it as on my screen as kind of like a 5x7, right? Something like that. So mm-hmm. I'm like looking at it in real size as a 5x7 on my screen, and I don't know what the subject is. Like if
you,
I just look
find
at this
it eventually.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. You find it eventually. The clouds are way too overpowering, and so is the grass because of the depth mm-hmm. of field. Is just it doesn't make this photo about your son. Like again, you get around to him and you look at him, but he's much smaller in the frame, and there's way too much more of that background in terms of your attention. So nothing wrong with the photo. It's still, again, if I took this photo 5 years ago, I'd be raving about this as, you know, a great photo. But the difference is when you compare it to the photo that we just looked at, there's no question how much more your eye is drawn to the true subject. And the inclusion of the clouds kind of as a, you know, partially blurred out, but you still know that those are really dark, kind of gloomy clouds, gives it enough of your attention, but does not make that the focus.
Right. I include this one more as an environmental thing, and I kept it. This wasn't one I kept just for the show. I kept it, you know, not going on the wall, but it's one I want to keep to kind of remember the environment that day. But the good thing is if you put yourself in good positions to shoot, you are not hampered by the background. Like, you don't have to shoot around the background. Like you said, with your 5 foot white background, you're kind of limited in what you can shoot. Okay, can't shoot this angle, can't shoot this movement, and so everything's kind of restricted, and you're at the mercy of your background.
Right.
But in a good lighting situation, you can shoot wide if you want. Obviously, we don't want to shoot wide, but you can. There's nothing you can't do. You can have your subject come right up to the camera and still include all that background without having to limit your possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I always recommend shoot at, and this is in the morning. This is probably like 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning.
The perspective, I was going to say the perspective here too comes into play, because the other one, the perspective of him gets his head like up above the mountains and just it totally makes you feel like on his level versus this one's looking down more and just, again, not the perspective that I think we like for kids of this age.
I'm going to cancel your order. I actually sent you this picture.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Now I feel like a bit of a jerk.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. No. I'd like to say that in the challenge photo, that I purposely framed his head in sort of that light area of the cloud and kept it dark above. I'd like to say that, but he doesn't cooperate enough for me to actually have that happen.
Yeah.
That's what we call kind of a happy accident, which happens an awful lot more when you put yourself in a good position.
But I think the takeaway here, just a very simple takeaway, because I find myself doing this a fair bit too with younger kids, is lying on the floor or lying on the sand or lying on the grass in order to take a portrait where, you know, sometimes you got to get dirty. And and this is an example where you can't get the shot without doing that.
Nope. No. And my camera is literally as low as it got. I think In the landscape or the portrait version, I think the left hand side of the camera is touching the ground,
right?
And so it is really, like, realistically that low, just to get his head up above the horizon line, like you said, and that became very important. So when I got back and looked at like the 12 photos that I did take, it was very, very clear that right away, like, this was the one. So
cool.
Let's have a look at your photos now. We got all right. Here we go. So here we are again. Looks like you're shooting right at noon.
Yep.
Yeah, it looks like you put yourself in a great position for fantastic results. Again, now this is one of my favorite places to go to shoot photos.
This is right on the dike.
Correct. At sunset, because you live on the West Coast.
Yes. Yeah. Funny thing was, we had a couple of friends over for dinner. And we were just talking, like, you know, it was probably 8:30, and we were just talking about, you know, all things me and photography related. And they kind of know that
I would talk about other people if they weren't so boring.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they were just asking me. It was kind of like hey, Adam, what are you up to? Kind of like, we'll include you in the conversation for 3 seconds before we talk about our stuff. No, they're sort of saying, oh, you know, how's the podcast? And like, they know that there's a photo challenge. And they said, you know, what's the photo challenge? And I said, oh, natural light. And then I said, you know what? This is a good time if you want to be in the challenge. And a friend of ours here said, yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, she was already, you know, dressed and makeup done and over for dinner. So said, yeah, I'll do it. And so I said, okay. We just hopped in the car and went just down to, again, this is 2 minutes from my house, so one of my favorite spots as well. And then snapped a few sunset photos. So you can see, like, we were only there for, I don't know, 10 minutes max, and watching the sun drop. And I took a few different angles, but I really decided I was going to use the sunset and the sun going down in the photo. Like, that's part of what I wanted. I wanted just this to scream sunset, right?
Yes.
So I took this angle. The one I'm looking at is the one with the little thin fence posting. Mm-hmm. The more happy photo I took, I think about 10. And then this was the one where there was definitely the biggest smile. So I like big smiles in photos. Mm-hmm. So I was really just trying to focus on how much background light versus how much foreground light. And in a perfect world, I would have even brought like a reflector, and I could.
Oh, so you didn't.
No, this is nothing. That's what I thought the challenge was. There was no inclusion of any extra tricks. So this was just purely trying to balance how much background exposure with how much foreground exposure. And this one, I think I achieved a nice balance. I like how the sun creates a bit of a flare around her. I also like how the sun, like on the little wire of the fence, kind of shows a nice cool rim light. There's actually mosquitoes everywhere here this night, because this is slightly in the shadows. And there's so the mosquitoes are here. So we were only stood here for about 23 seconds because she was going to get absolutely annihilated, as was I. But I wanted this perspective. So I did this. And then the other one I included, mostly because I really like the light. She doesn't have the big smile, but it's more model-esque kind of photo, is with her sort of posed next to a little post that's by the dike there. Mm-hmm. But I really like the balance of the sunset and her exposure as well. Just this is probably a minute prior to the other photo. So
it's a minute prior.
Yeah, the other one's first. So we moved into that other spot second.
Sure,
so
I see it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But again, just what you can do with the sunset in terms of no tricks, no flash, no bounce, just finding the balance of the background and the foreground.
And when you are going to find that balance between like the backlight and the basically the ambient that's lighting her face, start to finish, how many minutes do you have?
Oh, very little. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, because this is right before the sun drops down, so very, very little time. And the best part was I hadn't charged my camera battery or anything. I never do this. I didn't bring a backup. I really just grabbed my camera and said, let's go. This was a last-minute thing. Mm-hmm. And so it was blinking like it was going to die. So I had that pressure as well, knowing any instant that the camera was just going to shut off. So yeah. I was in a mad, furious rush. So I kind of got it where I thought it was going to be a decent balance, and then a little bit of fit in Lightroom just to bring up shadows, highlights, things up and down until I got it where I wanted. And that was that's again the beauty of shooting raw, is that I don't think I could have got this same image if I had shot it in pure JPEG.
That's true. You do need to bring those shadows up a little bit sometimes, but other than that, this looks, you know, pretty much straight out of camera other than that.
Yeah, that's all it was. Yeah.
No, I like it. There's probably a couple of technical things wrong that the book nerds will tell you is horrible, but I will disagree with them.
Tell me some of them. I want to know what the
I
book
don't
nerds
know. Are. I think the sun is probably technically it's probably blown out.
Oh, I love that effect.
Technically, no, I do too. I'm telling you, I do. I'm telling you what these nerds think. I'm on board with it. I'm sure in some book somewhere it says don't put the horizon line through your subject's head. I don't care. I honestly like the fact that it's in the top third. It doesn't bug me one bit. Maybe they tell you do put it. I don't even know. I don't care about that stuff.
Yeah, and I was thinking about the horizon line when I did it, and I kind of intentionally put it there.
Yeah.
So it's funny, like, because I don't think would have worked. Well, I don't think I could have got the horizon line lower from where I was.
Right.
Just angle wise, I could have got it. I could have got it right out of the frame, but then that kind of defeats the purpose of the sunset. Like, I really wanted the sunset to be like a player in this photo.
Sure.
And I think it is. So, but I really wasn't thinking the horizon line is any kind of issue, but I don't know what the photo nerds say here.
I'm going to have to Google what photo nerds think. I don't know. I'm sure there's a site.
Aren't we photo nerds though?
No, we're the photo fawns.
Okay.
Yeah.
you just coined a new term there.
Yeah.
Photo fawns.
Yeah.
New t-shirt. No,
one of the things that I think really, really hammers this home is the small detail is the backlighting on the cobwebs on the fence.
Oh, I know. I looked at that too, because I zoomed right in and looked at that, and I like that too. So I like the fact that you pay attention to those details.
Yeah. Those are things that that you're probably not going to notice right away, but then once you discover, you think, oh, yeah, that's what I want to do that. I want to do cobwebs.
Plus, there's mosquitoes if you zoom in, and I know this is a small resolution photo, but there's mosquitoes in there as well.
So you're telling me I'm coming over to a mosquito summer?
It was. This photo was taken, I mean, after our last podcast, which was, you know, 2 weeks ago. So this was taken maybe 2 days after our last podcast. So there was a ton. It seems like if you go near the grass this year, especially when the sun goes down, it is very mosquito-y.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Pack some baby oil. That's the trick. Not a deep fan. Photo challenge for next week. I didn't have one until I saw your photo. I'm liking what's going on here. And I know in August we're going to get some of these nice sunsets. I'm heading to the sunset. Let's do another sunset photo. I know you just did one.
Okay.
But let's do one.
I
love them. And specifically what I like about this one is that you could have waited 15 minutes till the sun was down and the sky was all lit up, and then brought your flash out and then blasted that on your subject and tried to balance it out, and it would be balanced just perfectly and it would still look like a fake photo.
Yeah, believe me, I actually thought about it,
mm-hmm.
but the whole idea, like I said, I went out specifically for this photo challenge, and so I wasn't even, and I also wanted to do it in 10 minutes. We were having dinner with this friend and her husband, and really didn't want to be gone very long, so the idea was go shoot something quick, available light, and come back, but I thought about all of that, and I thought if my camera wasn't dying, I probably would have just shot a few ambient ones with the afterglow, the blue hour, as we call it.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't even do that because the camera died. So.
Time to go. Right.
Yeah.
We talked a long time ago about the JPEG shooter and how you start out when you get your camera, you shoot JPEG, and then you go, wow, man, I should be shooting RAW because that's where it's at. And the good photographers shoot RAW. And then you find out that the great photographers shoot JPEG again because they're that good.
Yeah.
So for me, this is kind of how you start out. You start out by shooting available light, and then they're not very good. They're terrible snapshots, but you move on, get your first flash, listen to our show, go to strobist.com and read about that, and you start taking awesome photos. But then you kind of move on and think, I can do this with available light if I know what I'm doing.
Right.
And so that's kind of where I like to go. In fact, we didn't talk about it on the show. We should have talked about it on the show, but I'm heading over to Vancouver for a while, and I'm trying to figure out what am I going to pack in my bag.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not packing a single flash.
Okay.
Not a one. I'll be gone for like 4 weeks or something like that. I plan on taking zero flash photos, just because I don't feel like it, and I want to you know, take nice, you know, wonderful available light photos, but I really don't care. I don't want to do any lighting this summer.
Okay, I think that's there's nothing wrong with that.
No. We'll see how my photos look.
Yeah.
But you were asking real quick before we go.
I'll be packing a flash everywhere I go.
You were asking, hey, are you going to bring your 5D Classic?
Yes. I was asked because I was going to do your sister's wedding.
Right.
And I was thinking, hey, like I just did a wedding and I used the Canon T2i crop sensor camera as my backup camera, which I threw a wide angle on, and turns out, you know, wide angle on the crop camera isn't super wide, and so no. I thought, hey, I am interested in picking up a 5D Classic myself. I thought you might be bringing it as your backup camera, and hence I could borrow it to shoot some wide angle stuff at the wedding and get a feel for whether or not I should purchase one myself.
It's a coin toss right now. I'm bringing my Mark II because I have some video stuff I have to shoot. But I don't want to take my Mark II to the beach, et cetera, as I've mentioned about a million times on the show. I take my 40D around, 40D and the 30mm lens. That's what mm-hmm. I take. Mm-hmm. However, I am trying very hard to pack light on this trip, like ridiculously light. But so I'm going to need two camera bodies. So I'm debating, do I bring the 40D and the 30mm and mm-hmm. the Mark II and the 85. And then it occurred to me that I'm probably going to shoot some home video of my kids, which is going to mean the 50mm.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to pack my 35mm cine lens just to shoot home video. So I'm going to need my 50mm. So that's three lenses, 30, 50, and the 85.
Mm-hmm.
And that should cover me. However, that's a heavy setup. Now, if I take my 5D Classic, I can take the 50mm on that, the 85mm on the Mark II, and that's it. Two lenses, much lighter, and leave the 40D here.
And plus, that lets me borrow the 5D.
Well, spoiler alert, you could probably go ahead and just use the Mark II if you don't drop it.
Yeah.
And I don't even drop it like you're going to ruin it, and just that I need it. But other than that, I don't really care. Either way, you'll get a full-frame camera out of the deal. But I have something to think about between now and that the flight in a few short hours.
And don't forget, you also have that new lens that I picked up for you, the whatever yes. it is, 85mm. So there's another lens that you'll have available.
Well, that in terms of photos, that's a little bit redundant. I bought a 85mm cine lens for video. And
yeah, but then do you need the 50 still for your kids if you have that?
Yes.
You still do.
The wide angle for the cine lens. Yeah, I do need that. So
okay.
That's the thing. And actually, we'll talk about that lens next week, I think, a little bit about that lens and what I bought that for. So could be something cool. We don't know.
Okay.
We don't know yet. But I got to tell you, as of right now, I'm leaning heavily towards the taking both 5Ds and packing even lighter than normal. Even though I might get sand in my 5D, and that might be the end of it. But we'll find out.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it'll make it.
Also, the last couple weeks, the shutter button has been a little hinky on the 40D, so it might die on me mid trip. So maybe I'll go with the 5D in stereo.
Okay.
Good talk. Okay.
Great.
Photo challenge for next week. We just did that. Oh, that was the sunset one we're doing.
Yes.
Yeah, I already took care of that. I should have checked that off my checklist. Websites, Adam, where can people find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca, and I have been posting things on Facebook. Oh, I have one. Can I mention one more thing? But yes. That's before. But you, how about you give your website, and then I'll close with this.
AlanAtridge.com. What do you got?
Well, I put a product photo in the Dropbox for you to mm-hmm. see. You saw that, right?
I did.
So not so funny story, but just interesting. We had a few things. My wife said, I want to sell a few things, items that we're just trying to clear out our house. So we had like a kid's bike, and we had a humidifier and a blender. And we just thought, okay, like these things are things that we want out, but they're all in good condition. So let's sell them on whatever. I think she said Virage sale. I don't, to be honest, don't really know Virage sale, but apparently it's a place where you sell your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, great. After I take the photos of the dancers on the big white seamless background, I'll snap a few product photos. And then, you know, in my mind, if you take a good photo, it probably helps sell the item faster, correct?
I would think.
So I did that. So I just bang, 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 snapped the photos of the products. And then Lisa posted them on Virage sale. She gets a email back. I guess they patrol this very closely, very carefully.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they have sort of administrators that check everything out. And you're not allowed to post stock photos for items.
Right.
So she got reprimanded for these not being the actual items and being stock photos. And then she had to write an email back just saying, you know, my husband just bought a seamless white background, and he's a photographer, and so he kind of knows what he's doing, but these are the actual items. Like, you can see, like, I sent one of the photos to you, the humidifier, and the cord is all kind of... I kind of did that on purpose. I put the cord just willy-nilly out front so that people would know that it was the actual item. This is not how a stock photo would look yet. And then there's a picture. I didn't include it, but you can post that. There's a picture of my son's bike, and like my daughter's arm and hand are holding it up because there's no kickstand on this bike. Now the photo looks really nice, except for it's clear that this is not how you would do the stock photo. But anyways, I thought, now I have arrived. When the people at Virage Sale are saying that the photos are too good for our site.
I'm sorry, Mr. Ansel Adams. Take your photos elsewhere.
Yeah. This is not a place for your professional looking photos. Yeah.
That's actually you're going to dine out on that story for a couple of years.
Absolutely. That's what I'm going to lead with. Yeah, when I meet someone famous like Shia LaBeouf.
Hey, you need a ride to the airport? Let me tell you a story about iStock Photo. I don't even work for Getty Images. Boom, here I am. All right, say hi to Megan Fox for me. Get out. All right, that's enough. You can check us both out at twohosters.com, where you can find out all the stuff we just talked about, and maybe even more. Who knows? Until next week, get out there and make better photos.